The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listening to Stefan's promo, what was the great line? Revenge is a dish best served cold. Ooh. 5 a.m., everybody. Friday, October the 15th. Weekend is here. Very special morning for all of us. 2021. Friday weather and look outside. Clearing and cold. And it's going to be 55 for a high today. The good thing is tomorrow 67, mild. And then Sunday, 75. The sun is out. And then 72. We go slip back in the first part of next week. This is our final morning together, and I don't know, we did a television shoot yesterday, and the shoots we've done, they've been really successful. It was episode 6, and I was thought about it last night. What do you call it? Old radio guys.
Yeah.
It was we Jeff Hildebrand, who now is retired as well, and today is your last newscast, and the way we have it set up, thanks to Mark Crawley, and it drops as we speak. It just shows up this morning at 5. But Hildebrand and you, although separate, Jeff stood in the hallway and watched you. Uh-huh. So if you'd like to see it, it really is emotional. It's very well done. Modestly, he says, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. Click on episode 6 of the shoot. Did you enjoy that?
I did.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
I really did.
Yeah. Well, it started out with Jeff, and then it started in just telling radio. I call them radio stories.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walked in, and we did radio stories.
Yeah, that's right.
Man. Hey.
That's right.
How do you feel?
Well, you know, I think it's rather fitting on my last newscast with you that we aired yesterday's traffic report.
Oh, yeah, no, I said that too. Makes sense.
I mean.
Billy runs out, resets the computers.
Right, right.
Welcome to Tom Mueller and Peter Boyles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
This is after how many years now?
1962. So what does that make it? 59 years.
Yeah, we were talking. You're taking pictures of today.
Yeah. Uh huh.
You have nothing from then.
I don't. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, sure. Of course. You know, technology is such now.
Who knew we were going to do it anyhow?
I know. That's true. I knew I was going to do it all my life because I loved it. But,
yeah.
But who knew?
Who knew?
Yeah.
All right, let's do the news, and then we'll do the talk.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Great. Thank you very much, Peter. The city of Boulder is extending its free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Sunday from noon to 5 through at least the end of October. The location is the Boulder Public Library main branch in the Canyon Theater. No insurance, ID, or pre-registration is required. Meanwhile, another decision could come today on more COVID vaccine boosters. An FDA advisory committee will vote on approving a second shot from Johnson & Johnson. That follows a panel recommendation of a half dose from Moderna for seniors and those at high risk. That came earlier this week. Arapahoe Basin opens the ski season today, but the first place opening goes this year to Wolf Creek.
Wolf's up. Maybe the Wolf is.
Yeah. They open tomorrow.
Yes.
President Bill Clinton is high. Speaking of Wolves, I'm sorry.
It's last day.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do.
Last day, right.
So who's going to stop you?
Yeah. President Bill Clinton is hospitalized at the University of California Irvine Medical Center due to a non-COVID infection. He was in Southern California for a private event promoting his foundation. We've got inflation at a 20-year high, and now more and more workers' strikes are taking place throughout the nation. More than 10,000 John Deere workers are striking. Healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente are on strike, and production workers in Hollywood also striking. The IRS is depositing a fourth child tax credit payment today. Two more are scheduled this year, worth up to $300 for each child. The rest of the credit will come when parents file their 2021 tax returns next year. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is allowing the Texas abortion law to stay in place. The law bans abortion after a heartbeat is detected in the womb, which is around 6 weeks. A cadaver dog is now helping in the search for Brian Laundrie. He's the Florida man who's a person of interest.
You think he's still alive?
I don't know. You know,
Billy, do you think he's still alive? I do. Yeah. I do think he's still alive. Yeah,
and,
I do.
Well, he's an outdoorsman. He's he knows the woods, you know.
No, I think he's still there. Billy, is he there?
I tend to say no, honestly.
Okay.
And only because we haven't seen anything of him. It doesn't mean anything. It does worry me. Things like we know that his we think that his parents may have been involved in getting him a burner phone.
Sure.
So there may be contact there. What I'm trying to figure out is the cash flow. I don't think that his family is necessarily a grand criminal mastermind organization, so I'm not sure if they would be clever enough to avoid him not being tracked by financial transactions at this point. I don't think so. But that's the only thing, is I think we would have had some flags pop up, but I don't know. I have no idea. The other thing is he disappeared in that Florida wetland, and if you take your own life or something happens to you, you got about 48 hours of having a legitimate shot at the body. Other than that, that thing's gone, because animals are going to get there. They're going to eat it. They're just not going to get anything. So,
and Dog the Bounty Hunter couldn't find him.
I know.
Think about it.
If Dog can't use his magic mullet,
I love Dog. I love Dog. Dog's a good guy.
They have had sightings, allegedly.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, somebody said they saw him.
Yeah. Someone said it's Elvis, too. So I'm worried.
Or Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the election was stolen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's.
The election was stolen.
Exactly.
Or Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I didn't mean to interrupt that, but
that's
I wanted to think.
Okay.
We talked about the other night. Is the guy still alive? I said, he's out there.
Yeah.
He's still out there. Yeah.
President Biden has signed the bill extending the debt limit until early December. Stocks historically swoon in September and begin to move up again in October, and this is the close of the second week of October, and the up moves appear to be picking up. Stock markets in Europe opening higher today. Asian markets closed higher. On Wall Street, S&P futures are up 0.4%. Dow futures are up slightly higher. NASDAQ futures are up 0.3% in advance of this morning's opening. And Pete, two tigers at the Denver Zoo
got the COVID.
Test positive for COVID.
Yes.
But both appear to be improving. Now, their symptoms? Sneezing, lethargic behavior, and runny noses. Hey, that's a way of life with me.
Friday morning, October the 15th, 2021, the final newscast with Tommy Mueller. This is an action day. Clearing and cool, and 55 will be the high. We got a great show. Going to anger up everyone's blood this morning. Sunny and milder tomorrow and Sunday for your Denver Broncos. Are the Broncos at home or away?
I think they're home.
Home. Yeah. They're home this week. Okay. Home. 75 will be the high today. So here we are, man. After all the, and again, I thought what happened yesterday was very special. The shoot. And it really is. Jeff Hildebrand is a wonderful storyteller.
Yeah.
And he's like you, and I guess all of us kind of backed into the business and fell in love with it, and the beat goes on. But old radio guys, and you told a story about your life that's personal. I'll leave it up for people to watch it. I told people about it. I said, you know, and it's happened on that show. When I was leaving, I ran into the bosses, and they said, well, how'd it go? And I said, you know, that shoot series has had three separate things happen. And the very first one was Tancredo telling the story about how he ends up in Africa, and the series of events that happened to him here to allow him to end up there to make a change actually in U.S. foreign policy vis-a-vis the Sudan. And then when Frank DeAngelis comes on does the shoot, and he gets very emotional, and he tells this moment where the killers are in the school. He actually sees one of them, and he carries a key ring of, I think he said 30 keys. And these young girls were running down the hallway. I believe they were running from Klebold. And he goes to the door that was locked. He pulls out his key ring. First key in works.
Wow.
He said he tried that. He said so many times he tried to replicate it, and it never happened. So and I'm watching him.
Yeah.
And he tells the story, and he said, jump ahead in time. And he said he's at a girls' softball game because he always, you know, shepherds all the sports. And a woman comes up to him. A woman says, do you see this? I think she was playing right field. And D'Angelo says, yeah. And he said, if you hadn't opened that door, she said, I was in the hallway. She said, I'm her mother.
Oh, man.
And so here's like, I don't even know what you call it, but the first time Frank goes for the lock.
Yeah.
That's the right key.
That's the right key. How many times have you and I fumbled keys to get the right one?
Every morning from my truck.
Yeah.
And it worked. He got the door open, saved the lives of these young women.
Mm-hmm.
And then jump ahead in time. He's at a softball game, and this kid's playing right field, and this woman, he doesn't recognize her, mm-hmm. comes up and says, I'm her mother. She wouldn't be here if you hadn't opened that door.
Yeah.
And then you told a story that I'll let people watch about your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same kind of magic.
Yeah.
And it was a great mm-hmm. story, and yeah. I didn't expect it, and we've been pals a long time, and you never told me that story.
No, never did. Yeah.
And Hildebrand told some stuff that I'd never heard him say before either.
Uh-huh.
And so it's up. It's
one reason why we love this business. You find out a whole bunch of things by sitting and asking questions.
Yeah, but it is. It's and so this is. So now people are asking me. So now what? So now what? And I know that you told me yesterday about you have a new direction that you want to take your life.
Yeah.
If you would, I mean, you don't mind it.
Sure. No, I don't mind it a bit. Got to clear my throat.
But he's been practicing. He did dancing classes for weeks.
That's right.
He's got the spandex outfits. We've been doing the smoke
machine. We're going on the road.
We got the glitter. I mean, it's the next. We're prepping for the next season of Dancing with the Stars.
We're going on the road.
Yeah. So far, yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, Pete, you and Tom's cha cha, it's pretty good. Your feet still are not right, but you know we'll work on it. Yeah.
Well, I had a dream at night. Woke up from a dream, and it was crystal clear to me. I never remember my dreams. Never do. Plus, if there is anything memorable, they make no sense. I mean, they're just absolutely convoluted. They make no sense. And this is the prelude to my direction in life now. I was a caretaker of an empty church building, historic old church. And my job was to get people. There were people who break into that church. My job was to say, get out of here. You don't belong here. Get out of here. And so I would hear a noise down the hall, and I'd say, get out of here. Get out of here. You don't belong here. And then I'd lock the door up, and I'd go out in the alley behind the church, and I would share Christ with people who are walking by. And then I'd hear sound in the church, and I'd go back in and say, get out of here. Get out of here. You don't. Well, the message is clear to me. There are plenty of people on the outside of the organization called the church that are not welcome in the church. I'm sorry, I got this thing in my throat.
No, it's okay, please.
They're not welcome in the church, and I'm, you know, talk about a mismatch. Get out of here. You don't belong here. And as I think you know, Donna and I were planning in the next 2-3 years to move to San Diego.
Yeah.
And that was how I was going to end my broadcast career and stuff. I woke up and I said to Donna, and here's the linchpin, because I'm saying to Donna, honey, I don't think we're to move immediately to San Diego. I think we're to do this to reach people who are on the street, not who want to be lazy, not who, you know, who want to... just throw away any kind of rules and discipline in their life, but who really, really do need a mentor to direct them in life if they're willing. If they're willing to clean up their life, I'll be accepting sharing Christ with them, of course. But if it's kind of like what Step Denver mm-hmm. is. It says, we're not going to let you be lazy and be a jerk. We're going to help you if you really want to. And from the context of the church, I really feel that's God speaking to me, saying, Tom, I want you to welcome people into the church who are ordinarily not welcome, but who are willing to give themselves to the disciplines necessary to get a job, to and so forth and so on. But the key was Donna, because we have a, it was on a weekend, and Donna and I have a cup of coffee in bed every Saturday and Sunday morning. And so she woke up, I get the coffee, and I came in. I thought, okay, here goes. I'm going to tell Donna. And I said, honey, I don't think we're moving to San Diego in the next year or two. I think it's going to be a little longer than that. And I described that to her, and she goes, yeah, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So that's really, that's a long way of telling you, but that's how it came about, and shared it with the elders at the church, shared it with the church. I said, you know, there are going to be people coming in that you may want to kind of recoil from, but that's okay, because if they want to give themselves to the disciplines necessary to get off the streets, we want to welcome them with open arms.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's my direction.
Tommy Muller, Peter Boyles, Billy Thorpe. We have worked together for 8.5 years.
Yeah, boy, that long.
Really quick.
Yeah, really.
And I mean, and you know, I knew this morning was coming, but I was driving into work. I was thinking about it last night.
Yeah.
You know, what was your first show? Very first time you threw a mic switch?
First time I threw a mic switch, well, a student radio station at Michigan State.
All right.
Morning show. With Tim O'Brien, who was the Supreme Court correspondent at ABC. We had a two-man show, Tim and Tom, TNT Boys, Dynamite.
Top 40.
Yeah, top 40. Sure. And that's the first time I threw a switch. Yeah.
What year was that?
1962, wow. I want to say.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, we thought, I mean, did you ever think, you know, of course, none of us ever did, but think that day about this day? And the answer is, of course not, because never thought we'd be here.
Yeah, that's right.
I was never going to get old.
Yeah, and, all of my family died young. I've outlived everybody in my family except my grandma, who died at 83.
Yeah, I'm way past the mark.
Yeah.
And still working, which is even better.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm still gigging.
But I thought, you know, I'm done by 60 or something, you know.
Or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever, but not. Not at 78.
It was yesterday. I mean, again, if you watch this, and the story that Tommy just told is not the story that he tells. And I was trying to put a jacket on episode 6 of The Shoot, and I just dubbed it Old Radio Guys Telling Stories. I mean, with Tancredo, it was purposeful, and DeAngelis was incredible. But this one, and Hildebrand, who you and I feel the same
Isn't
about Jeff.
Great?
He's
the
best.
Yes.
And then he does some stuff. And I went, And then you came in and you turned it around. So it's now dropped. It's The Shoot. It's Old Radio Guys. It's 710KNUS / Peter Boyles, The Shoot. So here we are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to say something? Yeah.
Yeah. Now I do want to say I'm still going to be on the FM, the Christian station. Yeah. I'm going to be doing the morning show on the FM. So you'll still see me in the hallways.
Yeah, but you're away from all of this.
Yeah. Right.
Putting a cast together.
And, yeah.
Putting up with Billy.
I'll tell you.
I get to ask this. And we were talking about yesterday with Hildebrand. We're talking about what was the moment? You know, I have this thing of second that I had with Norman Mailer. And I went, Norman Mailer asked me what I thought about his book. You know, that was like, what do you, or anybody thinks, you know, that anything I have to say is important, or they get mad at what you say. I'm always surprised by that. Well, what was the moment, you think, for yourself in this business?
In this business? The moment I was interested in, I found out I was interested in, I said on The Shoot last night, that's on the dropping today, my Aunt Joan always took us to the Berrien County Youth Fair in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I grew up on a farm. And we'd go to the youth fair, and I'm walking down the midway, and I see a St. Joe, Michigan radio station off to the right of me. And I'm looking, I'm locked on to that radio station broadcast, and I'm thinking, there's a radio station.
Wow. Right.
And, of course, I grew up in radio. I was, I think, in about eighth grade, so, you know, I grew up in radio. Listening to the radio, there's a radio station, and I walked right into a pole.
And to this day.
Yeah. 59 years later, I'm in radio. So The moment, I think, is when I got knocked in the head.
And Jeffy said, we were talking about it yesterday, and again, it's up. I remember, I don't know. I have a lot of memories I can of being really little.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff I can remember that's... Yeah. My sister and I will talk, and she doesn't remember it, but I do. And I've told the stories. My mom and dad, my grandma, my Uncle Gene, who was home from the Second World War, and my sister and I. And four rooms, maybe, in a rental.
Yeah.
They were called stackers. You know, there was a three. And marching around the breakfast table with Don McNeil.
Don McNeil and the Breakfast Club.
And like second call to breakfast or something. And my grandma's a little bitty Irish woman.
Uh-huh.
And I later found out she and my mother like hated each other. And we would march around the table.
Mm.
And then my grandma took us to see a live radio show where, I don't know, and they had a band. I mean, an orchestra, not a band, an orchestra. Mm-hmm. And it was some, I don't know, maybe KDKA.
Yeah.
I don't remember. My sister doesn't remember at all, but I do remember going and sitting in chairs and watching them do the radio. But I'm like you. I mean, there's something about it.
It is.
And the people that have misused it, I think we've talked a little bit about that.
I'm a little surprised personally about the fact that Tom didn't take the obvious message that was given to him so many years ago. that working in radio is like a big blow to the head.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that would have been a big sign saying, no, God string you to the pole and go, bong. Let's get some common sense into him. Avoid this like the plague.
It goes to
this
show you
hurt.
How long it takes.
Yeah.
By the way, I did, like so many of us, constructed a little radio transmitter and broadcast from my bedroom down to
Limbaugh
the kitchen.
Limbaugh did that.
Yeah,
that's what Limbaugh
did. But I also was invited, this name you may remember, Jack Sterling. Jack Sterling was on television, did The Big Top. He had a morning radio show on WCBS in New York. And as you know, I had kind of a schizo life. I grew up on a farm in Michigan and Central Park West in New York.
With your dad.
With my dad. And I was invited to sit in on the Jack Sterling show.
Wow.
And back then, it was, you know, he had a producer and a director in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
He had a little combo that played.
Sure.
And it was Jack Sterling on WCBS.
Wow.
And it was a big moment for me.
How old were you then?
I was in high school. Okay. I was, I think, junior in high school.
We both talked about the late, great Bob Lee, and I wouldn't be sitting here if I had never known Bob.
Yeah.
And there used to be a Playboy Club here in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And the radio station I broke in on, it was called Cat, K-A-A-K-O-O-T, with Ed Green and Gus Marcus and all these different guys. But the floor above it was the Playboy Club.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things they did, if you were in radio or TV in Denver, you drank free.
Uh-huh.
And Bob and I went, and I hadn't teamed up with Bob. We were just do Saturday mornings together, where it was the precursor of what we ended up doing. Soupy Sales.
Oh, yeah.
We got cooked with Soupy Sales.
I'll bet. So
Soup was a dish jockey.
Yes. And I think Detroit, wasn't it? I believe.
I was going to say Cincinnati, but I'm sure I'm wrong.
Okay.
But
I may be wrong.
Soupy was a dish jockey. And then I did an interview once with Buffalo Bob Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a DJ.
Howdy Doody, yeah.
He was a disc jockey.
Mm-hmm.
And Howdy Doody was like his, you know, his voice that he, and like Bob Lee always did that, you know, he'd do all these different voices.
Oh, yeah.
But Bob Smith actually was the radio voice of Howdy Doody.
Uh-huh.
And we talked about radio, and Soupy talked about radio with Bob and I, and it was just a really fun night. And he was supposed to do a second act, and
that was it.
Yeah, I think we were part of it.
Bob Lee, when Bob and I were on the air together, it was really, we would get comedy bits together. Oh. Every Thursday, we would figure out the comedy bits for the rest of the week and for the next week. And but it was like a Bob and Ray thing.
Yeah.
I was
great.
The straight man, and, of course, Bob was all of the different voices that he was.
Amazing.
And you know this, when he became a different voice.
He changed.
He became that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a character called Cookie Crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Cookie was the cook, the radio station cook.
Yeah.
And he became...
Oh, absolutely.
He became Cookie Crumbles in front of my very eyes.
No, I used to say, you never knew who you were drinking with.
Yeah.
You start out, you know, you're drinking one guy, and then you end up drinking with another guy, right. And then, you know, at the end of the night, you're drinking with another guy.
Yeah.
With Bob, you never knew, but God, he changed... I mean, he certainly changed my life.
Yeah.
The two guys were Alan Berg and Bob Lee.
Yeah, right.
And Ed Green taught me a lot, and Gus taught me a lot. We were talking who'd you mimic, who'd you learn from. And, you know, then you set your own course. I will miss you. We're going to start next week with Adi News Guy. So it'll be...
Well,
it'll be the Billy or Billy guess, or Billy reads the news.
I guess I killed things for the news department.
Yeah, yes, you did. Good job.
Remember that?
Yeah. So remember on Monday, it's not my fault. It's this guy's fault over
always.
Here who's abandoning us.
What can I do?
Yes, yeah. I'm abdicating
Tommy,
all of my responsibility.
You're like Snowball in Animal Farm. No
exactly.
matter what happened, Snowball did it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Snowball's been gone for years. He still did.
Yeah.
And here's something that is really, really weird about the fact that Tom is finally stepping away, that I'm sitting here behind the glasses, because I was working here when Tom arrived.
Oh, that's right.
I was working in the production department.
That's right.
So I was doing production in the morning and some other stuff, and I was writing news stories in the morning for when we had an actual news department or they're investing in it. Mm-hmm. I was writing news and then doing production in that's the morning, right. working with clients and writing the commercials and producing them. So when Tom walked in the door the first time, I was here. So the fact that I came back and he was still here is fantastic.
Where did you come from? Where were you working before you came here?
Before here?
Yeah.
I can't remember the call letters.
The old
800 AM, whatever it was, here in Denver.
Okay.
That's the one I was on the air with Bob. It was Christian Station.
That's right.
And then prior to that, Santa Barbara, KIST.
Billy, where'd you first come into the business?
Let me think. Well, College Radio's KTSC, which is still down in Pueblo, Colorado, and that's CSU Pueblo.
Okay.
And the reason I went there, it was really important, is I was on a soccer scholarship at a different school and knew that at the time, soccer, while I could play and I might be able to play on a low level semi-pro and did for a little bit, maybe even professionally, it didn't pay anything. I knew people that were playing professionally at that point, and they also had a second job, and I thought it was just dumb. So I'm like, that seems stupid, so I didn't want to do that. So I leaned into radio, and the reason I chose Pueblo is because it was the only campus at that time west of the Mississippi that had an operating TV station, radio station, and newspaper that the students actively ran on campus.
Okay.
And what then, when you investigate what KTSC in Pueblo does, you look at it and go, wait a minute, that's a college station? On the campus of CSU Pueblo, they have a 10,000-watt FM stick.
Wow.
They compete commercially in the city. You can hear them as far as Colorado Springs and as far as Florissant. We used to get letters from the prisoners all the time.
Right, see, there it is.
Yeah, especially the cute girls. They were the jocks. So, but again, that was
why
the
you
first.
Jocked.
It was. I mean, we would go out and there were things that we were able to do that we really got to play radio.
Yeah.
And because of what I did at KTSC, 2 weeks before graduation, the program director of KCSJ, which is the local KOA affiliate type of thing, they basically model themselves after what KOA does here in town. Down there, that was their entire model. He contacted me and said, do you have a job yet? And I said, no, not yet. And he goes, I need to meet you for lunch tomorrow.
Wow.
And I was hired. It was kind of cool. And what he did, and the reason he got turned on to me was because I was doing play-by-play for the college basketball team.
Wow.
And because I can talk really fast and can get in a lot of really good details. And I was okay at it. And he said that he got mad because what we would do is we had a tape delay of broadcast because KCSJ had the rights to the broadcast. So they got it live. What we did is we would tape delay it. So as soon as they shut down, we would be back at the station, and we would have it on cassette tapes, and we would play the game. Now, it was really popular on campus because everybody that went to the basketball game would then go to the parties, and they'd turn the game on again, especially the basketball players.
Hmm.
So it became really popular. And so he heard about it, the fact that we were getting this second play audience. We were actually pulling an audience in the ratings doing it. So he tuned and he listened, and during lunch he turned to me and goes, what really pissed me off is that your calls are better than mine.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so that's where it started, KCSJ in Pueblo, Colorado.
Wow.
And then the only reason I got up here into what was J-Corp at the time, moved up here, they had just bought KHOW. And they were moving KHOW into the big Darth Vader space down on Lawrence Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get back into Denver. And I came in, and they talked about the fact they're doing this at KHOW. And they ran down the lineup. I'm like, oh. And I started rolling off the satellite channels, the backup channels, the time, the broadcast, and who to contact. And they went, oh. So I knew how to run their station before it started. So the fact that I knew all of that and demonstrated it, I got hired there too. So that started this weird dystopian lifestyle.
No, it's true. I mean,
do you have time for one story?
Of course.
In closing? Oh, well, for you, absolutely.
Why don't we break? Hey, Billy, why don't we take a break? Why don't we do it? We have a whole thing planned here.
And then it's story time with Tom.
I
like that.
Uncle Tom story time.
That is good.
All right. You have a mortgage on your home. I want you to take a look at your interest rate and be sure you're not paying too much. Rates are really low. That means that you could be a significant savings moment, both short-term and long-term. Need to act fast before they're gone, making time today to call our friends at American Financing. This could change, and it could change quickly. Take advantage of it now. Free, no-obligation mortgage review. There's no pressure, no upfront fees, no hidden fees. Takes 10 minutes. Get into the game. Please, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000, online, AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. But please call them this morning, 303-695-7000. That promo always troubles me because it's simply not true. Good morning. It's Friday, October the 15th, 2021. It's 5:38, 22 before the hour. Cold outside this morning, clears and comes up to about 55 today. Tomorrow, motorcycle day, 67, 75 on Sunday. This is the last morning that Tom Mueller and myself and Billy will be working together. And you had a great line. You said, I'm going to sleep in now till 5 a.m.
Yeah, until 5.
Till 5.
Yeah. Man, I tell you. That's right.
Weekends. I mean, I'm in the gym by like 6:30 in the morning, and people, you know, and I said, well, I slept in.
That's right. And that means all 4 or 5 that you
get up.
Yeah.
My family does that too. They always laugh at me because on the weekends, I'll sleep in until about 6:30. And I'm like, wow, I really slept in. And I'm still up like 2 hours before most of the other kids. So
absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm sitting out, you know, looking at news on the computer. Like, I don't know.
I know.
But we've been getting up in the middle of the night for most of our adult lives.
That's
so
true.
So you want to say one more thing?
One more thing, because Bill, you were talking about doing play-by-play basketball. Now, I used to produce sports with one of the Lakers coaches, and I was asked to do a play-by-play football game.
Wow!
Back then I knew sports, but what I didn't know is I have lousy eyesight, and I didn't know until the game started that I couldn't see the field from the press box. and so I have my spotter next to me, and he's spotting, and I, you know, and I was researched as to who the players were and stuff, but I couldn't see the field. I couldn't see what number the guy was. And so the whole football game, you heard the PA announcer say, that's Jones up the middle. And then a second later, I'd say, that's Jones up the middle.
Sure. you adapt.
I adapt.
You learn to do it.
And I had to pick it up a second after everybody else.
You know, it's Rick Lewis joined Dave Logan. And there was a guy, he was a disc jockey. Mm-hmm. He's done a good job. He's the other voice of the Broncos. And he's come in, and that's a hard job.
Oh, it is. It is very hard, and especially when you can't see the field.
And you know, and I grew up on Bob Prince, and we were talking. It was like 59 years ago, on the 13th, like 2 days ago, and Billy Mazeroski, you know, drops it in the Ivy, and Pirates win the pennant. And how good Bob Prince was.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or any of those guys.
I know.
You know, and then and you just keep, enter because I think. I think baseball is kind of a radio game.
It is very much a radio game.
Football isn't.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you why, but most people will do, like, they'll turn the sound down on their TVs and turn up Dave and Rick. Mm-hmm. And that was that started with Larry Zimmer.
I need to rant here just for a second. Yeah. The modern play-by-play guys, most of them are awful. Dave Logan is a shining example of what should be done.
Because he played.
Yeah, because most of the people that are doing play-by-play in color right now forget the core of what they're doing. Most of them believe, like you do, that they're doing a visual broadcast if they're on radio, and they're not. What Dave does that is so intelligent is he tells you how the offense is lining up. He's telling you where they are on the field. He's telling you which hash mark they are. And I always have this complaint that most time basketball play-by-play is just a guy talking about passing a ball with squeaky shoes in the background. So you can't tell anything.
Because basketball's
the,
not.
The basketball play-by-play guy never tells you where they are on the court. Yeah. They never tell you how the defense is set up. They never tell you how the offense is set up. They never tell you how it's spread. They never tell you when one guy is sitting way outside over the three-point line in the corner. They never give you the setup of what the play looks like. I mean, it's absolutely pitiful.
But the guys, like, I remember
Chick Hearn.
Well, boom.
Chick Hearn, we used to.
Jack Brickhouse, Bob Prince.
Right.
But I remember sitting with my dad listening to Ingemar Johansson, Floyd Patterson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, with the radio.
Right. That's
the old man having a cigarette and a beer, and I don't know how old I was, but because everyone thought that Patterson would beat Ingemar.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was an upset fight.
Was that when he got clipped in the...
No, he got knocked out. But he came back on him, too. But
Was it Floyd Patterson who got hit in the Adam's apple?
I don't remember that. I mean, it just probably. But and Patterson, you know, it was Ingemar Johansson and Patterson.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to a Marciano fight. And they could describe, you know, rounds and play. And you could, there was an old line, I saw it on the radio.
Yeah, that's right.
And you actually saw it.
Yeah, the theater of the mind.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I wonder. And I mean, Hildebrand said yesterday about the first time he actually went into a radio station, is this it? Anyhow, I know you got to go to work. Your sounder went off.
Yes, it did.
We have 8.5 years, and Tommy and I, and of course, 55 will be the high today. Go to the web, 710, if you wish to. 710KNUS/Peter Boyles. Go to episode 6 of The Shoot, and it starts out with Jeff Hildebrand and then Tom and I, and it's just old radio guys telling stories.
And, Bill, when you had mentioned that you were here when I first came here, that was 15 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know.
And then so you and I have had 8, Pete, and Bill and I have had 15. Yeah. So, wow.
And if you'd have ever thought.
I know.
Yeah, I know. And Tom's even interviewed my wife a couple of times, too, when she was doing PR with State Farm.
No, I remember all of that.
Yeah.
And here I am pushing 80.
My wife always spoke so highly of you, Tom.
Hey, Tom's the best.
So highly. And in fact, she didn't know that I knew you the first time you two spoke. Hmm. And then I told him, and she goes, he was really good. And it was a really good, engaging conversation. And she deals with a lot of stiffs. Well, so you were really good.
Thank you very much.
A song that now I hear in my head all the time, and it's songs called Desperado's Waiting for a Train.
Hmm.
And Jerry Jeff does it. And I think Ray Wiley Hubbard wrote it, but don't hold me to that. And he said, these are heroes of our country. And why are they all dressed up like these old men?
Wow.
And it's called, like, Desperados Waiting for a Train.
Well, bless you.
You too, man.
Appreciate you. I love you.
A lot of years.
Yeah.
I love you very much.
Okay.
All right, Tommy, everybody. 710 KNUS. We do a turnaround. Hold on your hats. We are 710 KNUS. Friday morning, October the 15th, 2021, 55, clearing up. Sneak a call in here. We got to do a quick turnaround. Hey, Dino, you're on a radio show, Bubba. Good morning.
Hey, Professor Boyles. How are you?
Doctor, I'm good. Quick.
Tom's good. I wish him well and all that. I know he enjoys listening to me. So that answer you mentioned, that's a good one. That Dwayne Bobic in the 72 Olympics got punched right in the throat.
Is that who it was?
No one's ever seen anything like it. And nobody's seen anything like it. And he went out. They thought he'd he would fight that Teofilo Stevenson, like people for the gold. He never did. And then he thought he wanted to be a pro champion. And it ended his career pretty much.
Because I didn't think it was Floyd. I didn't think Floyd. Floyd got knocked out.
Right. It was an amateur. But it was a big thing at the time. No one ever got caught to the throat before. It's just amazing. Wow. Amazing. And also, before I go, can I go plug to one of your sponsors?
Of course.
Do they do that?
Sure.
I went to Stack Optical. I had my eyes examined in years. They fixed me up perfect. Got the glasses. I could see past the drivers.
I'm telling you. We're old. You know, you got to do the show with us some morning, too. Just sit and talk.
I know all the broadcasts. I knew everybody went, mentioned that and all that. I knew friends of my family's friends with Gus Marcus. Good, tremendous guy. His kids turned out to be great, too.
Oh, sure. I mean, I still stay in touch. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
beautiful.
His daughter was.
Yeah, I'll go lunch. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
His daughter worked at MedVed for years. And
his son was a big guy.
Gus. My one of my favorite radio stories is when I'm breaking in, I'm a kid, and I'm working for Gus, and Gus takes me to this little, I couldn't even find it if I had to, a little spot on Colfax for coffee. And he looks at me and he said, you ever notice when you turn on radio or television on Christmas, there's somebody there? And I'm, yeah. He said, well, this year it's you.
Yeah, I know. You told us. I've it for years. I worked the holidays for years at the station. It's great. It's great. Yeah, I'll get a hold of you off the air sometime.
I love you. Please do. All right, man. We'll do it. All right. On the other side, then, we got a lot to do. There's so much nonsense in the city right now. That Dominion court case goes on. I get attacked by Colorado. They're peak politics, and they're punks, man. They don't sign their – they misspelled my name. No call letters. No one were on the air, and nobody signs the editorial. Listen, I'm here all the time. Actually, even in places like the Denver Post, they put a reporter's name on it. That's a punk shot. But then again, they're punks. We come back, and that's a come on the radio show and back up what you wrote about the question that no one can ask. So we come back. We'll do Andre, and then we'll go to work, 7:10. KNUS, Heidi Gnall's on the show this morning. But that was Jive. Colorado Peak Politics, your Jive. Hold on, everyone.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.